The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life. Retirement specialists getting you ready for your second life.
We've only this weekend and next weekend remaining in the run of the Anton Savage Show, and Aina Lena came in and sat down and said, so technically this is our swan song. And I went, oh, very good. She said, you think I didn't pre-prepare that? Which led to the thing about whether or not swans actually sing.
Well, no, they don't. But so why would you have to tell
you
the truth?
Where did we get swan song from?
I don't know, really. I mean, the swan we have in Ireland is the mute swan. And the mute swan, clue is in the name. It doesn't.
You're going to
sing.
Think I'm a total moron, but I literally never put two and two together that was why it was called the mute
swan. And it's called the mute swan in contrast to the hooper swan, which is the wild swan that we have that comes here in the wintertime. And we only had mute swans since, Queen Elizabeth's time. So like the old stories of the children of Lear, they were all mute. They were all hooper swans. And they do sing. They sing. They have this great booming sound, the hooper song, and this is why the children of Lear, when they were turned into swans, were able to sing, and this is why things like the wooing of Etain, the people vanished and came back and all of this turned into swans, because in the old days people didn't know where these hooper swans are migratory. They come here in the winter, they're gone in the summer, they turn into women, they vanish, they go back into swans, they sing. They were all the hooper swans. And of course, if you're dying, I suppose, and you're on your last legs, you might exhale a large breath and die, and maybe a whooper come out of that. But the mute swans, the ones that everybody knows with the orange bills that take the hand off you when you're feeding them bread and all of those, never open their gobs. They don't sing at all. So, I mean, there you go.
Where are the hoopers from?
The hoopers are from Iceland and Greenland, from Iceland mostly. They come to us from Iceland, and there's loads of them because with climate change, there's more plant growth and it's warmer up there, so that they're able to feed more on grass and that. So the numbers of hooper swans are actually increasing.
So how would you know the difference between them? Obviously, if you hear them, you know. But if you don't hear them,
Because the mute swans have orange bills and an S-shaped neck. You know, the ones you see carved out of ice when you're eating in swanky restaurants. But the other ones, the hooper swans, have straight necks and they've yellow bills with a black tip on them.
So why was Queen Elizabeth responsible for the mute swans?
Well, it was the kings. The mute swans were like jumped up hens, jumped up fowl. They were just something they had and they ate. And I mean, there was great recipes for great banquets in the Tudor times and Elizabethan times, Victorian times, of eating swans. And the swans were served up on the table. And you could have a swan, cut it open, put inside it a turkey, cut it open, put inside it a hen, put inside it that, and right down to a quail or something. These glorified dishes of gluttony that you'd have. And the swan was part of that. And they all belonged to the king or the queen, whoever it was, and you weren't allowed to have them. And so we didn't get swans in Dublin until St John Gogarty's time. St John Gogarty was caught by the IRA and he escaped by jumping into the Liffey and swimming across, and the Liffey saved his life. So he donated a pair of swans to the Liffey, whenever he was around, early 1900s. And they're the first Dublin swans. We didn't have swans in Dublin before that with the orange bills. We just had the migratory lot coming and going.
So every native swan in Dublin is a legacy of Oliver St John Gogarty up a couple.
Well, I presume we had more than that then, but you couldn't. They weren't in the wild. They were generally in people's possessions, and the dons in Oxford and Cambridge, the dons had the swans, leading to all kinds of ribald jokes that I couldn't possibly mention on the radio, even if I could remember them. But, you know, so they're all those swans, but the wild swans are the proper ones.
Now, this brings up a thing that I wanted to ask you about, because you talked about swans, and I assume it's quite illegal to eat a swan currently. That's not recommended.
Oh, God, not at all. And they taste horrible, apparently, as well.
Do they?
Well, apparently so. I don't know, but they're tough as bejesus.
That's what the aristocracy would tell you, Aina, so you wouldn't, you wouldn't envy their swan.
I mean, any bird that's flown to us from the far, far away has used their wings and all. I mean, the things we eat.
Duck isn't bad.
Oh, that's duck. Wild duck.
I mean, there's not much meat on a wild duck.
And it's tough.
What about deer? Because there was a report during the week that said that we shouldn't. One of them is native, one of them isn't. I think the red isn't and the sika is. Is that what it is?
No, of course it's wrong if you've said it. Yeah. It's the other way around. The red is native and the sika is. Clearly said the native. It comes from Japan, for God's sake, from the other side of the world.
So the red is native?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Which do we have more of?
Well, we have more. But what happened was Lord Powers Court in 1846 brought over the sika deer. He was on his travels and he brought it home. And it was, he thought this was great. The red was what he had, and he had them in his estate, and he thought, well, if I go out mating these, see what happens. And of course, one is smaller than the other. He had to put it up on the wall. And he wrote it all up in a scientific paper. Talk about animal pornography, and I wouldn't like to think about it. But anyway, And they think talk, and the offspring, of course, were more fertile than the parents. So all them deer you see around Wicklow are crosses between the red and the Sika. They actually have mixed genes. The only proper red deer we have anymore, they were down in Killarney. They weren't having any truck with the Sika deer. So the crowd in the park in the Killarney National Park are the true blues.
Because there's very few walls.
And Charlie, well, this is it. And Charlie, of course, he had a few on his island, and they're the true blues.
He did not.
Well, yeah, Charlie. Well, he took the.
He's there in his Vicalon.
Yeah, and they're still there, a couple of reds. And at one stage, we thought they were going to be the only ones surviving foot and mouth. But anyhow, it didn't come to that. However, but the rest of them are all crosses, and they're a pain in the face. And you do your natural national duty by eating them. We should beat the wolves off them. They have the country destroyed. They have every tree in the place ate because they're browsing. They have nothing to put manners on them. All you need is one great big fella with horns, and he has all the women. So all the other males that are also rams are just sitting about doing nothing. So in order to keep down the numbers, you should be eating the women rather than the men, because the men are so supernumerary at any rate. So you see them in the shops, you see veal on, you see venison on sale, and it's really good. There's no antibiotics in it. It's lovely and lean. It's really good meat, and we should be out there in like Flynn eating the stuff.
But there is a sense that when you see deer, you go, oh, so beautiful. Look at them. They are the wild made real. Aren't we so lucky to be able to get this close? And there's you essentially stumping up with your degree in biology and a shotgun saying, let's eat them.
Well, yes, I think they have to be culled. I mean, in the Phoenix Park, they're culled every year, because if they don't, they'll be leaping out on the road and killing everybody. I mean, then we should eat those ones that are removed because the numbers are too high. Because if you don't, I mean, in Killarney, they overbreed as well, because the children are all allowed to live because there's no wolves to take them. I mean, you have to manage the herd, and then we should eat them. It's an awful waste, and it's really good meat. If you want to do your duty for the environment, eat deer. You heard it here first.
Now, I want to do a very risky thing, which is, I think I might know a wildlife fact that you don't know, and I want to see if I'm right on this. Do you know about starlings in America?
Do I know about starlings in
America? No, not that they're there. Do you know why they're there?
Well, they were brought over because all of the ones in Shakespeare were brought over. And some of them took. I didn't think it was mentioned by Shakespeare. Some Egypt decided he was bringing them all over to America. And some took and some didn't. And why did the starlings take?
I was sure that was going to be my moment. Yeah, this is, somebody decided every bird mentioned in the works of Shakespeare should be in.
Yeah, blackbirds and nightingales and all sorts of carry on.
And as a function of this, they do $2 billion of damage every year to the US economy because they eat all the crops and everything else. Because
well, there you go.
Was this all that the gentry did in the 1800s, was just import wild animals to do harm to the native environment? It seems to have been quite the trend.
Well, they didn't know it did harm to the native environment. I mean, when they went to New Zealand, for instance, down under, and to Australia, they wanted it to look like Blighty. So they brought over yellowhammers and foxes and all of the animals that they had in Britain in order to make it look like home. And of course, it was even worse there, because there had been none of those kind of animals there. The ones before that were all ones with pouches, like kangaroos and stuff, and they brought over placentals. Rather, and so the placental animals, once placentas, our ones are more advanced, and they began to push out and destroy the native creatures that were there. So this is why you have all of this carry on in New Zealand in particular, where you have the dodo, not the dodo, the other thing, the kiwi, which was really the ground animals. It didn't have little mice and rats and things running around eating the leaf litter. It was the kiwi. It was flightless. It didn't have to fly. There was nothing after it. So by bringing in all stoats and bringing in foxes and bringing in all this stuff, it wrecked it. But they didn't do it on purpose, in the sense that we will wreck the stuff over here. They just decided we will have it nice, like home, because it's New Zealand and Britain was kind of the same climate. Things would take off very well. So that's, and I mean, it wasn't the convicts going to the ships that were bringing the canaries. It was the gentry. There you go.
Aina, always a joy. Have you anything coming up that we should be mentioning? You don't have to. Have you a book? You usually have a book.
Well, I have Wild Dublin. I remember my Wild Dublin, my second edition of Wild Dublin. I did, of course. But anyway, it's got an otter on the cover. And the good news is there's loads of otters in Dublin's rivers. This is the wildlife of Dublin City.
Is there otters in Dublin's rivers?
They're leaping out of the place. I mean, but you have to get up. You'll be seeing them now coming into work in your new show.
You know what I saw coming into work this morning?
No, but you're going to tell me what?
A bat.
A bat? A bat?
I lied with myself.
In the middle of January, flying around. Are you sure it wasn't a bird?
Ah, damn it. Damn it. Damn it. Damn it. Aina, thank you.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.